Hello everyone, my name is Shakti. I work in the SQL Server product support team at Microsoft. As part of Microsoft CSS initiative to share more knowledge about SQL Server to the community, we have released a series of video presentations in our MSDN blog here, which talks about various features and aspects of SQL Server. Adding to those, here is a video presentation on why to look at weight statistics to troubleshoot SQL Server performance. So this is all I have for you in this video presentation. First, we are going to look at what is weight. I'm not going to explain you the dictionary meaning of weight. Instead, we're going to talk about weights in the context of SQL Server and why we need to focus on weights while troubleshooting performance problems in SQL Server. To understand weights, we are going to talk about some of the basics about lifecycle of a session and where weights is accounted in this lifecycle. Then, we are going to understand the concept of weights using an analogy of billing at a supermarket. This real-life example will help us understand the concepts better. Down the line, we will discuss the classification of various weights in SQL Server, where to see the weight information in SQL Server, and then a short demo on using weightstats DMV to look at weight information. We'll then wrap up with the takeaways from this video presentation. Okay, so let's look at what is weight and why we need to focus on weight. SQL Server was designed to track weight information whenever a query waits on a resource and when the query encounters something that is not available to perform the task. SQL Server sets the weight type for that weight reason, and then you'll be able to monitor the weights information using a lot of ways which we are going to discuss down the line. This data is retained and we can use it to understand why things are slower than what we expect. Okay, so time for us to look at the life cycle of a session. A session can either be idle or attached to a request to execute the query. When performing the request, the session can either be running or waiting. When running, it can either be compiling the query or executing the query. While compiling or executing a query, if the operation needs a resource which is not available, the request then waits for the resource. In this presentation, we are going to look at this section of weights to understand why we need to look at weight statistics while troubleshooting the SQL Server performance issues. So let's look at the life cycle of a query. You may recollect that a query is performed as a task in SQL Server. A task is equal to a request in SQL Server. So these requests run in the scheduler to complete the task. So a session, once attached to a request, it can be either of these states. You will see them in the status column of sysprocesses. Note that we have excluded background and sleeping status because sessions with sleeping or background status won't have any active requests or they are performing any of the background tasks. So a request circles between three states, that is running, suspended, and runnable until the request is completed. Now here comes the exciting piece of this video presentation. We are going to look at the execution model of SQL Server using an analogy with one scheduler in place in SQL Server. So here we're going to look at execution model of SQL Server using a cashier at a supermarket and how he handles the customer billing. Customer here is the worker thread in SQL Server. A request here is to bill the items in his kitty, and the cashier is our SO scheduler or the SQL OS scheduler. Just to recollect, we create one SQL OS scheduler or SOS scheduler for every logical CPU exposed to SQL Server. Here, the assumption is that we have only one CPU allocated to SQL Server. Okay, let's start. So, we have a customer coming with his kitty, and the cashier starts billing the items. So, this means in SQL Server, a worker thread is performing the request by running in the scheduler to perform the task. Now, there are people starting to wait in the queue waiting for their turn. We call it as runnable queue in SQL Server, where Worker threads are ready with their requests but waiting for their turn to run in the scheduler. Now, the customer who is billing his item realizes that the price tag fell off from one of his product. He then requests the cashier to get the price tag for his product and steps aside. In SQL Server, we call this as a voluntary yield. SQL Server code is written in such a way that when threads need to wait for something, they yield or come out of scheduler, giving chance for other threads to execute in the scheduler. This is called cooperative or non-preemptive scheduling mechanism. Now, this customer will be waiting aside for the price tag to come in. In SQL Server, we call this as waiter list, which is maintained in each scheduler. So a worker thread which yielded will wait in this waiter list till the resource it has requested is available. State of the request carried out by the worker thread will now show as suspended. While this customer is running, the next customer is called in for checkout. Similarly, in SQL Server, the next worker thread in the runnable queue is sent to run in the scheduler. Now, once the price tag for which our customer, first customer was waiting is available, he then goes back to the end of waiting list, which also happens the same way in SQL Server. The suspended worker thread is signaled that resource for which it was waiting is now available, and the worker thread then moves to the runnable queue. The status of that request now will be runnable, which means it is ready for executing and it is waiting for the CPU time. Eventually, once all other threads are done, this thread will again get opportunity to run in the scheduler. So, now that we have understood how things happen within one scheduler, look at this picture to understand how things may work on a machine having 16 CPUs, where we create 16 SO schedulers. So each of those schedulers will have a runnable queue, people waiting, a thread which is running, and there are threads which are suspended. So now let's look at a simplified query lifecycle, given that we understand how the scheduling mechanism work. So here we are seeing a simplified query lifecycle, which shows that the total query response time is a sum of time spent running in the CPU, time spent waiting in the waiter list for the resource to be available, plus time spent in the runnable queue waiting for CPU time. This runnable queue wait time is called signal wait time. We also see a screenshot which shows that elapsed time is nothing but the total query response time is 321 milliseconds. Let's look at some of the types of waits or how the waits are categorized in SQL Server. We can classify SQL Server waits into these buckets, namely resource waits, synchronization waits, forced waits, external waits, and queue waits. Resource waits are nothing but waits on a particular resource for which the request is looking for, and the resource is not available. For example, write log wait is seen when a transaction is committed and the log buffers are getting flushed from the memory to disk until disk gives a response back stating that the data is now committed to the disk. So throughout this time, the session will be waiting with the wait type write log. Next category is synchronization waits, which occurs when a thread wait because they are not able to acquire ownership of a resource due to the synchronization logic implemented in SQL Server. In a multiprocessor system, synchronization logic is implemented by any program to control the access of a resource by multiple threads at a given time. Forced waits are nothing but waits which are encountered due to various forced situation. For example, wait for delay command in your batch inform SQL Server that the thread has to wait for the time mentioned in the wait for delay command before running again in the CPU. External waits are related to waits outside the SQL Server process, most primarily related to operating system calls, link server calls, etc. And finally, queue waits are waits by background tasks which most of the time can be ignored since they don't affect your query execution. Okay, so now that we have understood the waits and how scheduling works, let's look at some of the resources available in SQL Server through which you can see the wait information. If you see in the list here, I have categorized them according to the way they expose the information. DMVs like sysdm exec requests and sysdm os waiting task expose live wait information, while sysdm os wait stats exposes the historic wait information since the SQL Server startup. And you can always clear the historic wait stats manually by using the dbcc command, which is available in Books Online. Extended events in SQL Server gives you more granular way to monitor waits for a particular session. We also have few performance counters which expose the wait information for monitoring and troubleshooting purposes. So let's look at one of the primary source of information of waits, that is sys.dmoswaitstats and what it exposes. sys.dmoswaitstats DMV gives us various information to understand waits in SQL Server. The wait type column indicates the name of the wait type. The waiting tasks count gives the total number of waits on a particular wait type. The wait time underscore ms gives the total wait time in milliseconds for that particular wait type. Remember that this column, that is wait underscore time underscore milliseconds, is a sum of resource wait time and signal wait time. There is another significant column to look for, that is signal wait time, which is the time spent in the runnable queue waiting for the CPU time. Let's also look at some of the waits which may not be a bottleneck to you in the SQL Server instance. That means not all waits shown in sys.dmoswait_stats are indication of a problem. So I've listed some of the wait types which you can ignore because they don't cause problems to the queries running in SQL Server. And you may ask me, are there any other waits in SQL Server which are not exposed via this wait stats DMV or performance counter, but still will it cause my queries or my sessions to wait? Yes, there are. So given here are few other waits which are not accounted in wait statistics. For example, a thread may run in the CPU, but it may be waiting for a spin lock. So the thread is actually doing nothing. Note that spin locks are implemented only in locations where we expect the owner to release the lock very quickly. Similarly, throttling because of resource governor pool or loader lock waits because of a poorly written DLL or few other waits which may slow down your query execution but may not reflect in the wait stats. Okay, so now that we have understood the various options available to understand the wait statistics, how will you know what is the meaning of a particular wait type? In this presentation, to keep the purpose of this video to understand why we need to look at the wait stats, I'm going to keep it short by not explaining each and every wait type. Instead, I have listed here few resources which have documentation on wait types in SQL Server. We have Books Online article. We have a KB article applicable for 2000 and 2005. There is a very good CSS escalation team blog post and a SQL CAD team white paper talking in detail about various important wait types. And I've listed two monitoring tools available for you to look at the wait statistics, which already capture the historic information and you can look at the information right away. One such monitoring tool is MDW, where you have a report showing the SQL Server wait information categorized according to the wait type. So here is a sample screenshot here to show you how it looks like. We also have a performance dashboard. If you remember, SQL Server 2005 performance dashboard is downloadable from download.microsoft.com, which is an SSMS add-in to give you a few reports to look at the information available in the DMVs in SQL Server. So here is a screenshot of how it will look from the performance dashboard related to the waits information. Okay, so enough of theory. Let's quickly jump into a demo to see what we waited for in a particular SQL Server. So I've given a sample script here, which you may run it in your instance to understand what will be the information exposed by the sys.dmos wait stats. Okay, so in the demo, if you look at my first command, I'm clearing the wait stats, the historic wait stats in the SQL Server using this dbcc command. And then I'm running a sample workload. The sample workload here is a wait for command stating SQL Server just to simply wait for 10 seconds before returning the results. So once this wait for command completes, let's look at the top waits in this particular SQL Server instance by ignoring some of the background queue waits. And here we go. You see that in my SQL Server instance, if I order the wait information by wait time descending, I see that wait for delay is the maximum wait type in my machine. And if you look at the command I've given, it's almost matching. The millisecond, 10,000 milliseconds, which is nothing but 10 seconds, is what I've instructed here. So this means, though the query took 10 seconds to complete, the 10 seconds was actually spent in waiting for the wait for resource. So wait for is a forced wait type. You may recollect our wait categories. Similarly, you can use this DMOS wait stats in your production machine to understand what the SQL Server is waiting for till now, since the server startup or since the time the wait stats were cleared. Okay, so I've explained to you that you can look at the instance level waits, but what about waits for a particular session? Say your instance is a production instance and there are multiple requests running, but you found that one particular stored procedure execution or one user is complaining that his code is running slow. To answer that, we have extended events introduced in 2008 where the information session level waits are available. This extended event infrastructure also allows you to monitor the session level waits. So I've given you a screenshot from one of my blog posts which talks about using extended events to monitor session level waits. You have the link to my blog post in this screenshot. And I've also given you a SQL Cat Teams CodePlex script which demonstrates the response time analysis at a particular session level, which also explains you how to use extended events to understand the wait statistics. So look at the screenshot. You can see that my session, that is SPID 53, was waiting for 13 milliseconds for page IO latch shared. So this level of granular waits information was not available till 2005 and is only available starting from 2008 using the extended events. Okay, so that wraps up my presentation, and here are the few takeaways from this session. So start monitoring and capturing your wait statistics of your SQL Server. Compare the waits with historic captures during the same workload to see whether SQL Server now spends more time waiting rather than running. Queries can either run or wait. So once you isolate waits, you can then work on optimizing the queries which are taking longer time to run. Also, look for other online resources talking about each weights to understand more about what that wait type mean. Okay, so that wraps up the presentation for this video blog. Please feel free to post your questions or comments in the comments section of this blog post. Thank you.